You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you here today on this Thursday. Thanks for joining us here on this Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. on WWBC, 7:30 a.m. on 91.5 WMIE, 5:30 in the afternoon. Perhaps you're tuned into the rebroadcast. Whatever time you're on, I thank you for joining us here. For the next 30 minutes, we're tuning into God's frequency. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. The word today is going to come out of the book of Acts. I've entitled this sermon, Infallible Proofs. Infallible Proofs on the Son of God. That is what the author of Acts, Luke, is the author of Acts. This is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. So we're starting right where he left off, and that's what we do in this sermon. We go back to the end of Luke, see where he left off. Now we're in the book of Acts. We see the Lord Jesus Christ departed from them, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And then, as they were gazing up, we hear an angel say, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you will so come in like manner." That's where we're at. Infallible proofs. I share some on this program, some infallible proofs of who Jesus is, things that he did to prove to them who he was. So that's where we're at here today. We would, this is part two. I invite you guys to attend church and sit here under the authority of the Word of God as we teach the Word of God. This week, I am in Acts, the end of chapter one. We're going to look at the fall of Judas Iscariot. And really, that's where we're at. How what happened to Judas can happen to any one of us. That's where we're going to be. I won't say any more about that. We're going to pick it up where we left off this Sunday morning. We're in Acts chapter 1. You are invited. That's Sunday morning at 10:30. The place, Island Community Church. The location, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Our service time is at 10:30 Sunday morning. Wednesdays at 6, we're in 1st and 2nd Peter. Those are some of the things going on here at the church. If you're new to the area or looking for a church home, I invite you to come here to Island. You know what to expect if you enjoy this radio program, WGOD. Now, let's get into the word now. We're looking at infallible proofs, an introduction to Acts. So if you're looking for proof, read the Bible. Read your Bible. Pray for ears to hear before you read. Because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are lost and dying out here in the world. But it's the power of God to us who believe the message. Right here, this is all the proof you're going to get is right here that Jesus is alive. And that he's coming back again. If you don't believe God at his word, then there is nothing left for you, only separation. I mean, you have to believe God at his word, right? All right, infallible proof number two. Raising a dead person from the grave. John 11:38. Jesus approaches the tomb of someone who had been dead for 4 days. Then Jesus came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. So Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench." Or the old King James says, "By this time he stinketh." He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, and it's the same thing he said to her, he says to you and I, here today on this 15th day of February, did I not say to you that if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God? That's not just for Martha, but it's for this Martha and this Paul and everyone else. Believe God at his word. So then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. Now, that was last week's sermon. Thankfulness and prayer, right? You guys remember that word from last week? What does he do? Father, I thank you. I praise you that you've heard me, and I know you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, so that they may believe that you've sent me. Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus! Come forth, or Lazarus, come on out, he says. And he who had died, that came out, bound in hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. He must have looked like the mummy. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. See, that's infallible proofs. It's written down by eyewitnesses who saw this. And they wrote it down so that you would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Infallible proof number 4. This is why I was hoping Captain Jim Ross was going to be here today. Infallible proof number 4. Jesus pays his taxes out of the mouth of a largemouthed bass. Got a couple anglers in here. Danny, our sound man back there. Captain Jim. Jesus pays his taxes. And not only that, but Peter's taxes out of the mouth of a largemouthed bass. I say out of the mouth of a fish. It's infallible. See, this is the proof that would have got me. Of all the other stuff, and I'm not even a fisherman. This one just slays me. When they came to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and says, does your teacher not pay the taxes? And Peter said, yes. And when they come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their own sons or from strangers? Peter answered him and said, strangers. So Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. And when you had opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. Now again, that one just kills me. Go in and take your hook. Now it's just a hook. There's no drunk monkey on it, Jim. There's no shad. There's no weedless worm hook. It's just a hook. He says, throw the hook in and take up the very first snook that you find. Open its mouth, and in it you'll find, let's say, a 1909 VDB penny. Take it, pay off your house, pay off your boat, and send your son and daughter to college. That one just kills me. No one else can do this other than him. Who else could do something like this? These are infallible proofs to show you that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's God. He's God. Only God can do these things. Now let me go back to the one I skipped a minute ago, and I'll call this one number 4, telling a hurricane to sit down, shut up. Telling a hurricane to sit down and shut up. Now, this is Matthew 8:23. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We're perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea,
and said to them, now I'll take that out of another gospel, he said to them, peace be still. And there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who is this? Who can this be? Even the winds and the seas obeyed him. That's Matthew 8:23. The other one with the fish, that's Matthew 17:24. God rules over everything. Over every wind, over every wave, over every largemouth bass, and over every dead person. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He rules. Now back to Luke's testimony. We're in Acts 1, verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering. King James says after his passion. That's where the phrase passion week comes from. That's the old English translation for this word suffering. So he presented himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Okay, so now Jesus has been on earth 40 days. And after his resurrection from the dead, he's about to ascend into heaven. It'll be a 10-day wait for perhaps the most extraordinary event ever to take place in the history of the world. 10 days for that to come to pass. Verse 4, now being assembled with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John, that's John the Baptist, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So John's baptism is a water baptism, preparing the people for the Son of God and his baptism. But people needed to repent first. Just like the command we read in the end of Luke, you need a soft and receptive heart first. So John's baptism is first. And now the promise is given of another baptism, one initiated by God himself, by sending the Holy Spirit down here to earth to do a new thing. Brand new thing. Spirit baptism. The Spirit of the living God is going to take up residence inside the hearts of believers everywhere. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We'll find out in chapter 2 what that is. Now, verse 6, I'm in Acts 1, 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know. In other words, he says, I'm not telling. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons in which the Father has put in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria until the ends of the earth. So the Greek word here for power is the word dunamis, where our word dynamite comes from. You will receive spiritual dynamite once the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And this is the little secret that Satan does not want you to know, that you possess spiritual dynamite on the inside of you. You are, how would that old TV show? You are the $6 million Christian. Like Steve Austin, right? Or Jamie Summers for you women here.
God will take your broken down body and replace it with replace your sinful heart. And he's replaced it with spiritual dynamite. God says, I will rebuild you.
And it'll start right here with a new heart. Also in verse 8, he says, you will be witnesses, you will be eyewitnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So that's just going out from a circle, like You will be witnesses in Merritt Island and in Brevard County and in the United States. Same thing here. The apostles will fulfill this in the same order it's been given. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem starting in 10 days. Judea, Samaria, that'll be chapter 8. When the Holy Spirit's going to fall on the Samaritans. Verse 4, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We'll see that in chapter 19. In Ephesus, when the Holy Spirit falls on the believers there. And when Peter's preaching there in Acts chapter 10, when he sees this vision of a sheet coming down. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, the two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now this was spoken some 2,000 years ago, and we still wait today, don't we? The world remains on high alert. As I've taught before, this here event is what put us into the end times and the last days. Think of the end times like a football game, 60 minutes long. At various time on God's time clock, God calls a timeout, stops the clock to get things done, to grease the squeaky wheel, and to work out various details of his plan. There are events like the fullness of the Gentiles has to take place, which fits into this time. And then all of a sudden, once Israel becomes a nation again, wham, if I had my gavel, once Israel becomes a nation again, all right, I won't do that. Once Israel becomes a nation again, click, God's clock starts rolling again. Once Israel becomes a nation again, we're at the two-minute warning, and that's where we're at here today. That's where we're at. This is how the Apostle John can write to you and say, little children, it is the last hour. Agnostics and atheists and scoffers scoff at that for years. How could he say it's the last hour? Once Jesus was taken up, this world entered high alert. Jesus could come back anytime. I can be wrong in my understanding. Won't be the first time, and it won't be the last. Jesus still returns. He still reserves the right to come back today if he wants. Right? It's not based on my understanding. John says, little children, it is the last hour. Once Jesus was taken up into heaven, we have entered into the last hour. The world is on high alert, and the warning is, well, I'll actually let the Lord Jesus Christ tell you himself. In case you don't take my words for it, hopefully you'll take his. I know that you guys will. This is what he said in Matthew 24:40. He said, then, whether or not this is today or tomorrow or next year or next month, see, this is the great mystery, church. Nobody knows when this is going to happen. But this is what's going to happen. Matthew 24, verse 40. He says, then the two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. The two women will be grinding at the mill. Or we could say today, the two women will be fixing supper. Or dinner, as I'm told, depending on your upbringing. Then two women will be fixing supper. One will be taken. One will be left. Then he says, watch out. Watch therefore. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and he would not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Now that's a command. Catch that. The Lord Jesus says to you today, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you don't think he's going to return. That's my promise to you today. When you don't think this is going to happen is when this is going to happen. And this is where we stand. On this 15th day of February, year of our Lord, 2026. Once Jesus was taken up, angels admonished them for looking up. It's like, why are you looking up? You know how things are going to be. He told us. And this, Matthew 25:13, he says, watch therefore. Now there's another command. That's twice the Lord Jesus has commanded us. Man, oh man. You know, you better have an appointment with your chiropractor. Crick, right, Les? Got a crick in your neck here from looking up. Well, he says that's who he's coming back for. Now, that's not my words, that's his. Where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked me that. That's Hebrews 9:28. It says he's coming back a second time, apart from sin, to all of us who what? Look for him, right? That's the New King James. You take your pick. That one says all those who eagerly await him. That's why that's my favorite Christmas Eve sermon, right? Like a child on Christmas Eve, eager, full of anticipation and excitement. And yet Jesus said, unless we are converted and become as little children, then we'll never inherit the kingdom. We're on high alert. Or this, Luke 13:24, he says, strive. Now there's another command. So we got two watch out there for us. And now he hits us with a strive. Greek word agonizo, where our word agony comes from. It's also is where the word marathon race comes from. It's agona, agony, like gasping for air in your lungs. You've been running 26 miles. Strive to get in through this skinny little gate, he's saying. Strive to enter in through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and you begin to stand and knock at that, now for those maybe listening on the radio, I didn't say it. Let me say it so you hear it on the radio. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. He will answer and say, I do not know you where you are from. So my question to you is today, does Jesus know where you live? Not those that aren't looking up. He says, I don't even know where you live. Imagine that, where the Son of God, it doesn't know where you live. What a terrible thought. You can change that here today. So we wait. The church is on high alert. Israel, a nation again, takes us to the two-minute warning on God's prophetic time clock. The midnight cry is near. All the evidence reveals that. Are you ready for Jesus' return? This is everything rolls back to here, right? We've looked at all the evidence. They're looking up, waiting for you. He said he's coming back the same way as he left. How did he leave? In a cloud. How's he coming back? Does anyone here know Revelation chapter 1, verse 7? Behold, what? He's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will what? Well. Because they're going to look up. And they're going to look down, you see. And right there on the right hand, they listened to the government at the end of the age. And they took the government's plan in order to buy or sell. And took 666. That is why Unbelievers are going to wail when Jesus comes back. Whereas everyone here sitting in this room, if you're around to see this, well, you have a choice. You can either rejoice or you can rejoice. Those are your two options. You rejoice because you're here, and you're the generation that was blessed enough to see where we left off in Acts. You're going to see the Son of God crack the skies again. Or you're going to rejoice. Sorry, this stuff gets me excited. Or you're going to rejoice because you're part of the crew that's coming back with him. Riding on a horse. So as a believer, those are your two choices. You can A, rejoice, or B, rejoice. If you're upset that God loves you, then you'll wail. Because that's the charge over you today. And we'll leave it on this. This is the charge over all humanity today. God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his son to die in our place. That whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll pick it up here next week. Until then, Lord God Almighty, we thank you. I don't know what else we can do or say, but we're like the leper that returns to give you glory. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Son of God, Christ Jesus, for taking my sins upon yourself and dying in my place when it should have been me. You died for me. I return now to give you glory. I praise you. Bless this church. Bless my church family. Bless those that are watching. Bless those that are going to hear. Open our eyes and hearts and ears to understand where we're at. And maybe some insights of what's coming up soon. We pray you put people in our path. We're armed for bear here, loaded for bear, armed with the truth. Use us here amongst our family and friends in these end of days, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'll leave you guys with this blessing here today out of the book of Numbers. There's lots of breads and stuff in the kitchen, which we get from Publix. Help yourself to them here, right through the kitchen there. Help yourself, share them with someone else. What a great opportunity. Knock on your neighbor's door with a loaf of bread. You too are eyewitnesses. Might not be an eyewitness of Jesus in the flesh, but you're an eyewitness for all that he's done for you. And a great testimony. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless, church family. Have an awesome week. We'll see you back soon in God's house.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. What's common to hear people refer to redeemed marriages, redeemed reputations, redeeming qualities, even redeemed people. We understand the need to salvage and restore those things. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul urges the church to redeem the time, and then he heightens the urgency by saying, quote, because the days are evil. John, what did Paul mean by evil days, and how should that motivate us to redeem our time?
The expression, because the days are evil, or the evil day, is simply a general comment that we live in a fallen world. It's not as if Thursday is more evil than Wednesday, or next week there'll be a day that's a lot more evil than any other day we've